Welcome to another podcast. It's LiesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and our great local sponsors. Joining us now, our friend Bradley Campbell. He is running for City Council in District 11, and frankly, this is the only person running for City Council in the entire city I'm interviewing and putting up on Sly's Office, because it's my district on the near west side, and I really think Bradley is a breath of fresh air compared to a lot of other candidates that are running. Bradley, welcome to the show, and I'm glad to support you.
Sly, thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. It's actually pretty exciting. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your background.
My journey here started a couple of years after college. I decided that the career I was in really wasn't what I wanted to do, and I decided to go back to grad school. Decided to go to the La Follette School for Public Affairs, do my master's work in public policy, and spent a couple of years there learning about public budgeting, about policy analysis, about policy implementation, really running through one of the best schools in the country for how to run government. And from there, I've been working in all levels of government. I worked for HUD, Housing and Urban Development.
Well, but you're glad you're not there right now.
Yeah, they're getting a little bit beat up. If the Trump budget goes through, they're going to be largely diminished.
Well, and possibly one of the most ridiculous cabinet secretaries in the history of cabinets.
Yeah, I don't know how anything that he has done has any qualifications for where he is. I could have understood Surgeon General, perhaps, or maybe even health because of a background, but HUD? No, it just doesn't make sense.
Growing up in the inner city doesn't make you eligible to be a HUD director. All right, what else other than HUD?
After HUD, I worked for right here in Madison at Wisconsin Department of the former Wisconsin Department of Commerce in the Housing Division. From there, I went to the Department of Workforce Development, where I was a statistician and workforce economist. That was a really interesting time. That was as the Great Recession before and as the Great Recession was happening. So it was from an economics point of view and a statistics point of view, there was a lot of interesting stuff, but unfortunately, it was also with a lot of pain for everybody.
Your political background. Obviously, you've had Paul Soglin as a teacher, right, at the La Follette Institute?
Well, actually, Paul Soglin and I did not overlap, I'm very sad to say. He's been there. I know a lot of not my classmates, but other alums have spoken very highly of him and spoken very highly of what he's done. And I was very sorry to have missed the opportunity, but he didn't teach while I was there.
Okay. Yeah, because even his opponents would say that he can teach anybody a lot on public policy when it comes to running cities.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So your political involvement, you supported Bernie Sanders for president in 2016. How did you get involved with that?
Like so many other people, it was really all about the message that was being conveyed. There was a lot of passion behind the message, behind his words. A lot of it made sense about actually needing the politics to be about the people. And the way he conveyed it was just so honest, was so forthright, that I felt that you couldn't help but get involved and support him.
Economics of a city like Madison, obviously a lot of attention gets paid to epic workers coming into the community. Yeah. Obviously that's a big deal. And Madison is doing better than the rest of the state of Wisconsin. But there are people that are hurting in this city. They're hurting economically. Some of them because they're transient and they've come here escaping violence from other cities. You know, Madison used to have more factory jobs. Mm-hmm. Madison, you grew up north, but Madison, especially the east side, there was Gishelt. We have Oscar Mayer closing. We have some of the dairy businesses that closed. With Oscar Mayer closing, I'm stunned that nobody, and I admit that your district doesn't necessarily overlap with Oscar Mayer, but, you know, there's probably people on the west side that work at Oscar Mayer. Blue-collar, working-class jobs for people that you know, want to work hard with their hands and build something. Shouldn't that be a part of an economy in any city?
Absolutely. That should be without doubt. A lot of people are talking about affordable housing right now. And when you say that, people think of homeless housing, or they think of
Section 8,
low-income housing. And really, That is part of it, but that's not the whole part of it. That's not the whole of it, excuse me. Really, affordable housing, I prefer to think of it as workforce housing. You need to be able to have the housing there so that so you can have everyone. And there's the blue-collar factory jobs and whatever factory type it is that's needed right now. You know, bringing back an Oscar Mayer or whatnot. We need to have a diversity in our economy, but it's also our teachers. Our teachers need to be able to live where they work. Our firefighters, our police, everyone kind of, lots of people deride Epic and the Epic effect with the new apartments going in downtown and such. The Epic employees are very vital. Epic is a great, great addition to our entire community and shouldn't be derided, but we do need to look beyond that. We need to make sure that we're expanding so that we can get absolutely that whole mix of jobs so that we can have the local construction worker actually be able to live where he or she wants to with their family and not be forced to go out to the suburbs because it's just cheaper.
There was a real battle between the mayor and the city council about city workers getting a pay raise and paying for a little bit of the money that they've lost because they've had to pay more for their health care and their pension because of Scott Walker's terrible Act 10. And the mayor really did battle with the city council. There are a lot of progressive members of the city council that voted against that small increase for pay workers the first time. Now, eventually they came to some kind of agreement. Do you think city workers should continue to still get their wages hacked at? Because some do.
I think the question is, do we want to have city workers that are happy to be where they are? Do we want city workers who are serving our city well? Do we want city workers who are engaged, are committed, are feeling that they are appreciated and actually doing a good job, therefore, in serving the city best? If that's what we want, then yeah, we have to be competitive as a city. It's simple as that. It goes beyond a simple ideology for me. It goes to a simple point of view of, do you want your city to run well or don't you want your city to run well? If you want your city to run well, you got to take care of your employees. And taking care of your employees means part of that answer is paying them well.
Obviously, the situation with the Madison Police Department has been nationalized. National politics after Ferguson creeped into Madison politics and a couple high-profile shootings. Yep. Your thoughts on how to ease this tension between the Madison police and some segments of the community?
We have to not be afraid to engage in a full conversation on this. And
well, people say that, but then when you engage in a full conversation, absolutely, they get back up on their heels and get very angry.
Absolutely, they do. And emotions are going to happen. Emotions are part of this, especially when you have the fact that, however you want to phrase it, we've had shootings, and the results of those are that people have died. So, yeah, we're going to have emotions about it, and the emotions need to be worked through. I have an issue with the settlement in the Tony Robinson case, not because I think that, oh, there was too much money paid out or too little money paid out. The problem I have with it is that it killed the conversation. The conversation needs to happen, and it happens, one of the ways that it happens is through a trial where the police are exonerated. The police are not exonerated. Something happens somewhere where we get to closure, where we get to healing, and we are not getting to healing.
Well, there's
right
a different
now.
Legal standard for whether the police shooting was just in a civil matter like that versus a criminal case.
Absolutely.
Right? So there's a difference there. But in general, what are your feelings on Chief Koval as far as the job that he's doing as police chief? You've been involved in your neighborhood watch programs, right?
Yep.
It's quite active in the Midvale and Hill Farms area.
So the Hill Farms neighborhood watch is separate from others. Myself and one other leader in the neighborhood, there were some assaults in the neighborhood. We were very sad to see happen. There were some break-ins. My car was broken into, and we just decided to take action and do something about it. With Chief Koval, Chief Koval is a lightning rod right now, very unfortunately. The chief of our police department has a big personality and says some big things, has done some things that he has apologized for. There are some that feel that no matter what, the police need to be defended, whether they're right or wrong. I see the police as another group of civil servants in our city that need to be respected, but they need to be respected because we absolutely need them. Our city cannot run without our police department.
By the way, do you support the Midtown Police Station?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I support that. There is very little controversy in our neighborhoods about it. There are a few individuals who are opposed to it, but by and large, most of the neighborhood supports it.
I'm convinced they're putting it there to keep an eye on me so close to my house.
Well, I can see how that how that could be a strategy of theirs.
I'm being profiled. So, in general, the debate over the police and some of the accusations that have gone back or forth, you as an addition to the city council, where do you fit in that spectrum?
I think I reject the idea that there is a spectrum. A lot of people think that you're either pro-police or anti-police. For me, I am both recognizing that nationally we have a problem with racial disparity, with people, for example, being pulled over for driving while black. That happens. That's real. And whether it happens right here in Madison or if it happens somewhere else in the country and gets put out on Facebook Live or if it's put in the news, that affects our police. And I support our police as well. So I think it's possible to recognize that we have issues that we need to solve, that we have some problems as a society, and support our police department because, well, quite frankly, these are civil servants who are doing their best to protect and serve.
Bradley Campbell with us. He is running for city council in District 11 on the near west side of Madison here on slysoffice.com. All right, we're back with Bradley Campbell. He's running for city council in District 11. I watched your interview on the City Channel. And I had no idea that you had been involved with a couple different projects about Madison being sustainable and also the redevelopment of some of the Hill Farms neighborhood. And then, of course, I'm sure you're very interested in what's going to happen on that Department of Transportation property. Oddly, this is kind of an inner near West Side neighborhood, and yet there are some big things going on. It's not stagnant in any stretch of the imagination. How much time have you spent on this, and do you think this gives you a leg up in the city council race, the meetings that you've gone to?
I think experience is crucial in anyone we're asking to execute policy for us, to design policy for us, to make sure that the policy is carried out. You know, going back to one of the issues with the development, I was part of the team that stepped forward, that spent our nights, our weekends, emailing, calling, holding community meetings in order to put together a 20-year development plan for the Hill Farms, University Hill Farms neighborhood. That's looking
forward. Now, which property is this? Explain where this fits.
Where does it fit? So, north of Mineral Point Road.
Okay.
Between the core of it is between Whitney and Seago. Now, it does go over in some areas over to, depends on who you talk to, if it's Rosa or Rosé. There's very strong opinions on which way that falls.
I've always been told it was Rosa, but
there are very strong opinions on both sides of that. So it bleeds over that way as well. And it does go up to University Avenue to that to the DOT development site. Now, when we were working on that that city committee, it was very interesting because we were expressly told that we could not deal with what the neighborhood vision for that area was. We knew it was going to be redeveloped at the time. It was put out there, but we were blocked from doing that. Why? The state pressured the city to not interfere. And the city simply didn't have the ability to fight back against a state administration that was bound and determined to keep the city from interfering in any way, even with a lowly neighborhood from the state's point of view, an amazing neighborhood from my point of view, trying to say what we wanted the vision to be. We couldn't talk about how we wanted the traffic to be. We couldn't talk about how we wanted the sidewalks to be. That bleeds into some larger issues that we're having in the state. But within the plan also, we dealt with a lot of positive things. We dealt with, you know, talking about that walkability, those sidewalks throughout the neighborhood, looking at forward the whole area right around the Hilldale Mall, what we wanted to see for development there.
It strikes me as though that Hilldale area is almost becoming almost like an urban, it's almost beginning to take the feeling of a kind of like a mini downtown.
Yeah, it is.
You have a problem with that?
Oh, no, I don't have a problem with that. In the long run, the choice is really between stagnation and development. We don't want stagnation. Stagnation leads to a bunch of ugly things that we see in a lot of other cities, a blight and whatnot. And I don't have a problem with that area becoming a focus point within the city. I think that's great because the city needs multiple focus points. You know, we have them throughout town. What I do have concerns about is how we manage it going forward. We were very careful in talking about how that whole area, and it's not just Hilldale, it's through the DOT site, it's where the American Red Cross is, it's what's referred to as the triangle where Old Middleton Road splits off. There's a lot that needs to be very, very carefully managed, and having been involved in the process so much, having already had my head in it for several years, I think that's important.
All right, you're as we talk about all this, you're running a very city-oriented campaign. Your opponent has logged a bunch of political endorsements, right, from the establishment of the Democratic Party. Are there any issues where you and Arvina Martin actually disagree? So she's running a very different campaign. You appear to be knocking on more doors and running more of a issue-based campaign. You've clearly done a lot of homework. Are there any actual issues where you disagree with each other?
The most recent one actually came up at the Hill Farms Neighborhood Forum, where we had about 100 or so people meeting in the neighborhood to talk about issues. And the question came up with the how can we continue to protect our city when we're in the midst of such a going from purple to a red state surrounding us here, with how Wisconsin seems to be transforming politically. My opponent believed that, hey, it's very important to reach out to other liberal cities. I think that's why the Democratic Party keeps losing. We keep talking to ourselves. We have to quit talking to just ourselves. It's my opinion that in order to defend Madison and strengthen Madison and grow Madison in whatever your measure of growth is for our city, that we need to be reaching out not to other liberal bastions, because we've been doing that for a long time. We need to be reaching out to the rest of the state, because it's the rest of the state that sends their legislators to the state capitol, who then have a good time kicking at Madison. We need to be building bridges around the state again. We need our alders to be actually going to Wausau, to be going to La Crosse, to be going to Monroe, and actually talking to people there and trying to change the climate on a grassroots level throughout the state of Wisconsin.
I never have thought that there's as much difference between the people of Madison and the rest of the state. I think politicians do their best to demagogue that.
Absolutely.
And stir that up as much as possible. So you'd say, like, we used to do sister cities with communities in Central America that were under siege in El Salvador. Would you like a sister city in Waukesha County, like a Madison Elm Grove?
It sounds crazy, right? It sounds silly. And maybe not a sister city. Maybe it's something a little less formal, but something.
But you know,
something. Let's reach out and.
But you know, even in the city of Madison, there's 30% of the people who are very conservative.
Of course they are. Many of them are in District 11 and other. Yeah, absolutely.
As you knock on doors, I imagine some of the doors you're knocking on are people that are conservative, and they kind of feel left out here, don't they?
Of course they do. Yeah, and that's the problem, because the standard operating procedure of the parties, and that's on both sides, has been to talk to their own and not to talk to others. No, I'm going to every door in the district, because if elected, I'll be representing every person in the district, not just the ones who agree with me politically. I'd be representing the retired cop. the active cop, the banker, the investment banker that's in the neighborhood, the whoever is on the right end of the spectrum, I'd be representing them too. They have to feel engaged with their alder because it's their city too.
You were asked at another forum about the relationship between the council and the mayor and where you would fit in that as well. Now, it's real clear that Arvina Martin is aligning herself with the mayor's most vocal critic, Mark Clear, who's a sort of a conservative Democrat from the Parkwood Hills area, as well as Shiva Bidar, who has sights on becoming the next mayor. Where do you fit in that? Can you work with Paul Soglin?
I can work with anybody. You know, I at the forum that we had for the neighborhood, I told a story about an individual who remains nameless that I worked on a committee with, one of the city committees. That individual and I do not see eye to eye politically on very many issues at all. Politically, we are extremely far apart. And when you start talking about policy, that becomes a very, very big issue. Me being on the left and this individual being definitely right of center. I can't speak for their total politics, but right of center. I got along with that person to the point that that person is now a friend of mine. Politics gets set aside at this point because we were able to develop a relationship where we can talk to each other. I don't care who it is. I'm going to build relationships with individuals. And if that's Mayor Soglin, that's fantastic. If it's Mayor Soglin isn't there in a couple of years and it's someone else, that's fantastic. I will build a relationship with them too because it's about our city being able to make progress and it's about our district being able to make progress. And that does not happen when you're fighting over personalities. I'm simply not going to do that.
City spending, capital debt, sort of thing. Where do you think we are? Because you've taken these public policy courses, you probably know how to evaluate a city and where it fits in. Is Madison have too much debt?
In absolute terms, yeah. Any debt is never good because it always subjects you to a little bit of risk for every dollar that you take on. However, in relative terms, looking at other government units, looking at other similar sized cities, our debt status is actually quite strong. I believe we're at a triple A rating. That puts us in very, very strong stance if we need to make investments going into the future. If we need to borrow, for example, the renewable energy plan that we put forward, if we want to make large capital investments now in order to save money in the future,
right,
we have the credit rating to do that. We have, you know, it's millions and millions of dollars that we owe, but we're a very large city with about a $300 million annual budget. So in relative terms, we're actually doing pretty well. We've had a lot of we're Madison. We are a very thoughtful city. We are very well-educated city. We have a lot of people who have given all these issues a lot of thought, and we've done a good job on it. We can always do better, and that's what we need to keep working on is doing better. But we're in pretty strong shape overall.
Bradley Campbell, candidate for the 11th District City Council seat that is currently vacant. Thanks for coming to Sly's Office.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And Sly's Office.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.